Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate your pastors inviting us to share this evening with you. I want to, if you open your Bibles with me to John's Gospel, chapter 16, John chapter 16. Actually, I was planning to go a different direction. But while we were worshiping the Lord, I got a new direction, so I'm going to go that way. Interesting, actually, the sister who had a word from the Lord, that's the direction I sensed in my spirit before she even gave that word, so praise the Lord. We want to welcome our, is this the first time? First time. Dietzelai Megwoma. Ah. So I want to welcome our young ladies here from Taiwan. Your first time, right? Dietzelai Megwoma. First time to America. So they are both. Okay, both of them are high school, in high school, so senior in high school. Glad to have you. Praise the Lord. John chapter 16. You know, when we read verses or chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus, these are some of the last words of Jesus to his disciples just prior to Jesus going to the cross. And in these last few chapters, Jesus spends a great deal of time speaking about the Holy Spirit. And in this 16th chapter and the 26th verse, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." Now go back with me to the 16th chapter and the 7th verse. John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Then verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will," do what? "He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." You know, we are living, I shared with you this morning, that we're living in a dispensation that many refer to as the church age, the age of the church. Of course, if you read the Acts, we refer to it as the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, when in reality it should be the Acts or the works of the Holy Spirit through the early church, through the hands of the apostles. So we're living in these last days, the church age, or the time or the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I was, as I shared this morning, I was became a Christian at a very early age, but did not really stay in church, did not follow the Lord like I should have. And I'll never forget, you know, the Lord is very patient with us, very loving. He's constantly bringing us back into the truth, guiding us back. And there are two individuals in my life that made a profound impact on my life, and they were both Sunday school teachers. I have a great respect for anyone who works with children. That is the age to begin working with them. They're so impressionable and open to the things of God. And the first Sunday school teacher, and both of these ladies happened to be sisters. And the younger sister had no real formal education. She was raised on a farm, and I'll never forget that, you know, she was always so embarrassed because her hands were not, you know, delicate like a lady's hands, because she worked in the field, and, you know, she worked with cattle and milk cows and things of that nature. Her sister got an education and became a school teacher. But the younger sister, even though she had no education, was one of the most spiritual ladies I ever met in my life. She would pray constantly. And probably averaged 4, 5, 6 hours a day praying, constant prayer. Prayed for her children, her grandchildren, prayed them out of many difficulties, had constant miracles because of her prayer life. And her older sister, the younger sister, was the one that was instrumental in me becoming a Christian. The older sister was instrumental in me receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget, I was in Sunday school class because we had Sunday school class, and you know, we had quarterlies. You know what quarterlies are? Quarterlies are lesson plans. So this particular Sunday, I'll never forget, she did not have the quarterly. She opened her Bible to Mark chapter 16 and began reading with verse 15 all the way to the end of the chapter. And then she placed her head down in the Bible and she began to cry and sob and say, "Why are these things not taking place in the church?" And she sobbed and cried for the rest of the class period. Well, it was a quiet class period. There were only about 5 or 6 of us in that class. Well, she did that one Sunday. She did that the following Sunday. She did that a third Sunday. And by the third Sunday, the class had gotten smaller. One of our, you know, our particular church did not believe. Thank God we believed in the new birth. And I love the denomination I came out of. I love my pastor. And he was walking in all the light that he had. And so, you know, I understand. But we did not believe in what we term the baptism with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit or receiving endowment of power. We believed in a second work of sanctification. You're born again and then you're sanctified. When you get sanctified, you'll never have a problem anymore with sin. Well, obviously no one ever got sanctified. Because I hung around all those sanctified folks. That's how I found out about a lot of things. So, we didn't believe in that, but you know, we did hear the word Holy Spirit, usually during a water baptism service. "We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But when she read those words, it was like fire on the inside of me. I can't explain it. You know, spiritual things are hard to explain. It was like someone took a branding iron and something went off on the inside of me. And on the inside of me, I said, "Who said those words?" Well, they're in the Bible. Jesus said those words. And that those words began or caused me to begin to search for this experience that she was talking about. I'd never heard that you can lay hands on the sick and the sick can recover. I'd never heard that. I'd never heard that you'll speak with new tongues. I'd never heard about all these other things that Mark talked about, Jesus talked about in Mark. And so, of course, later on, I discovered that my Sunday school teacher had slipped into, you know, a meeting, Women's Aglow, and her husband, full gospel businessman, and they'd received, you know, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Well, they couldn't, you know, stay too much longer in our particular church because that wasn't popular. But, you know, she said just enough that it got me going and moving in that direction. And so I began to pursue this experience. I'd never heard anything about it. And later on, I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and it revolutionized my life. You know, people told me, "Well, you'll calm down after a while," but that's been over 37 years ago, and I'm waiting to calm down. Maybe I'll calm down someday. It revolutionized my life. You know, there's some things that I began to hear from the Word of God that changed me. One of those messages was spirit, soul, and body. Changed me. Just totally changed my understanding of things. Mind renewal. Just totally changed my understanding of things. But there's something else, that another message from God's Word that blessed me so much, and that is how to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, we're living in a new covenant. This is a new covenant, a new agreement. And the new covenant, if you read what the writer of Hebrews said, the old covenant talked about how God dealt with man, but the new covenant, he said, "I will put within you a heart of flesh, and I will write my commandments on your heart, and you will know them." Hallelujah. under the old covenant, no one was born again. We know that. No one was saved like we are. They had to become acquainted with God, of course, through the animal sacrifices, through all of the things that God initiated, through the tabernacle and all of those things that were set up. And the only ministry that really that was in operation was the prophet's ministry. And God would speak through the prophet to the people. If people wanted to worship God, they had to worship God through the Levitical priesthood. But thank God we live under a new covenant. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus said he'll not just be with you, he'll be in you. In you. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, "Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple?" Not only collectively, but individually. So when we were born again, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new." Now we understand that God created us in three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And the only part of our makeup that was radically changed at the new birth was our spirit. Because when I was born again or became a Christian, my body didn't change. My eye color didn't change. My ears didn't get smaller or bigger. Nothing changed physically. And for the most part, in my soul, my intellect, my emotions, my mind, all of that didn't change. Now, some things did change, but for the most part, a lot of that didn't change. I had some of the same thoughts after I became a Christian that I had before. And so I have to understand that what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I have to present my body. Is that right? A living sacrifice, not a dead one. A living one wants to keep crawling off the altar. Doesn't want to stay on the altar. You have to keep it on the altar. And verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So those two things are imperative to the life of the Christian, growing spiritually and discovering the will of God. Now, I want to share something with you about the Holy Spirit and how he speaks to us. Because I believe this message, among other things that we've heard, but this message about the Holy Spirit living on the inside and guiding us and leading us is one of the most important things we can discover as believers. Now, notice again in John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he is going to do what? He's going to guide you. He's going to guide you into all what? Into truth. Well, Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them according to thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's only one truth that is unchanging, and that is the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Jesus said in John 8, 31, 32, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Indeed, you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. And thank God that truth has made us all free, free from sin, free from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Free from fear. You know, it's good to be free from fear. Fear hath torment. Amen. I just seem to, you know, just for a moment here, I didn't need to say something because it just came up on the inside of me. You know, there was a time in my, I'll share this quickly and we'll get back to our subject. There was a time in my life that, you know, people would say, well, you know, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. And I would just, you know, flippantly respond by saying, well, you know, just act on the word. Well, what's that mean? I didn't really have a lot of compassion. But now I do. Because I experienced something. And to make a long story short, it's overseas where I was living. Something happened. Person spoke to me. When they spoke to me, it felt like someone threw a jacket on my back. Just, I felt it physically come upon me. And I had to go back to my apartment where my wife was, and I said, you need to pray for me. And she'd never heard that in over 25 years of ministry. Pray for me, because I don't feel like leaving the apartment. Fear came on me. Tangible. You know, Paul told Timothy, God's not given unto us a spirit of what? Fear. It is a spirit. If you don't believe that, just come follow me. in some of these countries, and I lived in a lot of countries. But this one was a little different than anything I've encountered before in my life. And so for 3 days, I didn't want to leave the apartment. I made myself go out. I've never had an issue. Never. Never. I was in the bathroom shaving, and I heard a voice speak, and the voice said, if you'll stop praying, because I was praying for the leaders of this nation I was living in, if you'll stop praying, I'll leave you alone. Well, I identified immediately where that came from, who that was. So that was the beginning of the battle. And the battle lasted for 2 years. Every single day I got up. Now, thank God I can sleep. That's something I can do. I can lay down, and within 5 minutes, Pastor, my head hits the pillow, I'm asleep. So thank God for that. The only time I had any relief was when I was sleeping. From the moment I got up to the moment I went to bed, there's a battle. Thoughts coming. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your ministry. All kinds of crazy thoughts. Everything in it. And now if you were around me, you would know I was going through this battle. I kept operating. I kept ministering. All I could do was speak what God's word said. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I don't have a spirit of fear. I resist you, spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, a sound mind. Hallelujah. A spirit of love. My mind is fixed on God. My mind is alert. My mind is healed. Over and over and over and over. If I said it one time, I said it 10,000 times. Every day. Every day. First month, second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month, sixth month, seventh month, eighth month, ninth month, 10th month, 11th month, every day. 12th month, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. And it got quieter, quieter, and left. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not a quitter. Matter of fact, when the devil attacks me in any area, I just preach more on that subject. I don't like to quit. I don't like to lose. Amen. That's just in my nature. But you know, you can get tempted. And let me just tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. The pressure... You know, this is real. Torment is real. You know, it's not a physical pain that you're going through. You can't take, you know, a Band-Aid and put a Band-Aid over it. It's in your mind, your soul. And it's real. That torment is real. And I have to be honest with you. There are times I stopped. I didn't pray for the leaders because of the torment. I didn't. There's times I didn't, just to get relief. But then I found out when I gave into that, it just became more. So now I know what I have to do, and so I just, you know, full force attacked it. Now, you know, the only example we have, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I am. The only example we have of Jesus resisting the devil is found in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, the story of the temptation of Jesus. The only example we have. Three times Jesus said something. What did he say? Do you remember? It is written. Three times. He didn't think thoughts, he spoke words. He opened his mouth and he spoke words, and that's the only way you're going to resist the devil. You cannot fight the devil in the arena of your mind. You'll lose. You have to open your mouth. You have to use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Three times Jesus quoted a verse, three different passages, from the book of Deuteronomy. Just think what you can do with the whole Bible. Amen. Amen. James said, you know, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist. 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 Resist the devil, And he'll flee. Now we focus on the fleeing part, but he's not going to flee until you do resisting. Amen. Amen. How do you resist? You resist with God's word. So every day. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, to create any kind of fear in you, but I'm saying that to let you know that everyone experiences attacks from the enemy. Amen. Jesus defeated Satan. Yes. We enforce what Jesus did. How do we enforce it? Through the word? By the Holy Spirit. We have to enforce it. You know, in war, in time of war, there's an invasion force, and then there's an occupational force. The invasion force comes in, defeats the enemy. After the enemy is defeated, an occupational force is there to set up, you know, within that country to help restructure their police and their government. So they're there to keep peace until that country can rebuild. Well, we're not the invasion force. Jesus was. He defeated the devil. You don't have to defeat the devil. He defeated him. We are the occupational force. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, occupy till I come. So we have to keep peace. Where does that begin? In your life and in your family. You have that authority. See, Adam didn't exercise his authority in his garden. Are you listening to me? Your life, your personal life, your mind, your body, your spirit, and your family, that's your garden. You protect it. You have authority. Are you listening to me? And some things, listen to me now, some things will never change unless you exercise your authority. There comes a point when you have to exercise your authority. Now, someone here, I just know this by revelation, you've been experiencing some issues in this area of fear. And fear can take on many different forms and create a lot of physical problems. Amen.
Amen.
You know, worry is just another manifestation of that. You know, you can preach about a lot of things and people will shout until you start talking about don't worry. And then it gets real calm and quiet. Right?
Right?
We can talk about all kinds of sin, but then you talk about worry and you don't hear a word. But Jesus said, do not be anxious about anything. That is, don't worry about anything. You know, Brother Hagin tells the story when he was, you know, he received a revelation and light. He was born again. He was still on the bed of sickness, and he began reading through the New Testament because he saw new and old, and he thought he wasn't going to live long enough, so he better read the new. And so he began Matthew's gospel, and of course he was partially paralyzed, so he would struggle to move the pages. It took him a long time to read through the gospel of Matthew. But he told the Lord, he said, anytime I see truth in the Word of God, I promise I will immediately put that into practice. Well, everything was going well until he got to Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought. Be anxious for nothing. And he said, I was raised by a world champion worrier. World champion. So he said, you know, I worried. He said, you have a lot to worry about when, you know, you have incurable blood disease, you're partially paralyzed, your heart's deformed, and doctors say you'll not live beyond your 16th birthday. You have a lot to worry about. So he said, I ignored that, just kept on reading. He said, the moment I ignored that, the light went out. By that, I mean, when he read the Bible, he was receiving direction, guidance, illumination. The entrance of God's word gives light, direction to walk in. The moment he said, I just read over that, the light went out. I just kept reading for weeks. But the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He kept bringing him right back to Matthew chapter 6. What are you going to do about this? So finally he said, okay, Lord, I promise you, from this day forward, I'll never worry again. And the light came back on. Now, see, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'll get back to that in just a moment, but the reason he's not speaking is because some of you need to go back to that point where he spoke to you about something and do what he said do. Because when we're not walking in the light, and the light is walking in the light of God's Word, and God's Word is both written and spoken. The number one way that God leads us is through His written Word. Amen? So whatever you read, that's what God expects you to do. And there's no reason for God to tell you if you can read it. Right? Then beyond the written Word, sometimes, you know, for example, He may want you to do something and there's no verse in the Bible for it. For example, when I was praying about going to Rhema, I couldn't find a scripture in the Bible anywhere. It said, go to Rhema. I looked for it, but I couldn't find it. So then we have to go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. So whether it's the written Word or He's speaking to you, it's still the Word of God. And you have to obey it. That's walking in the light. If we don't walk in the light, we're walking in darkness. That just simply means we're not getting direction. We're not moving forward into God's will. And so we have to get back to that place and do what the Holy Spirit, what the Word of God is telling us to do. Act on that and the light comes back on. Hallelujah. Amen. So thank God. God's Word works if you're dealing with that. I got good news for you. If you're dealing with any kind of fear, anxiety, I've got good news for you. God's Word works. God's Word is anointed. But you have to do something with it. You have to put it into practice. It's the doer of God's Word that's blessed, not the hearer only. Are you out there? It's the doer. The doer. Put it into practice. Well, how do you put it into practice? Well, the number one way to act on God's Word, if you can't act physically, you understand, is by what you say. What you say is your faith speaking. The words that come out of your mouth that are connected to your spirit. Hallelujah. That's how you release faith. Amen. Now, sometimes you might say it and it doesn't mean anything to you. Keep saying it if it's God's Word. Eventually, it'll register on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So if you're dealing with fear, anxiety, let me encourage you. Just don't put up with that. You don't have to put up with that. You know, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And some people say, well, you know, pray for me. I got this here, but this other thing I can put up with. Just pray for this. Why put up with anything? Don't put up, you know, we play around sometimes with these thoughts. Don't play around with your thought life. Do what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4, 5, and 6. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Taking into captivity every thought. How many thoughts?
Every.
How many?
Every.
How many?
Every.
Do we do that?
Yes.
Do we do that? That's what robs us of peace. That's what gives an opening and an entry into our thought life. And if you hang on to that and think about that long enough, it'll affect you. What you think about all the time will affect what you believe. What you believe will control or govern what you say and how you live your life. And those two things will determine what you have in life and what you become in life. Very important that you guard your thought life. Very important. I know there was a time, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, we used to, you know, you'd say things, you know, well, that just tickles me to death. Don't say that. Don't say that. You know, and I know people, maybe they got a little bit extreme, but you know what? We can get to the other side. And we just say anything and allow any kind of a thought. Are you listening?
Yes.
What are we thinking? What do we allow to come into our thought life? And today we are bombarded with information. You can't get away from it. If you have a phone with you, you know, the phone comes on, breaking news this, breaking news that, breaking news this. You can't get away from it. So we're constantly being bombarded. Now, let me get back to this real quick, and I want to share this because this is so important about being led by the Spirit. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there are many voices in the world. If that was true then, how much more true is it now? Many voices. in the world. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles," the King James Version says wiles, W-I-L-E-S, "of the devil." Well, we don't use that word. The Greek word is a word that means strategy. This is the devil's strategy. The devil's strategy is to attack your mind. That's his strategy. Because if he can control your thought life and you allow those thoughts to consume you, then they will affect what you believe. You can be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, but if your thinking's not right, it's going to affect what you believe. That's why Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world." That means you can be, and he's writing to born-again, Spirit-filled believers. You can be. How are you conformed? He goes on to tell us, by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed. Do not allow the external pressure around you to squeeze you into its mold. Phillips' version says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed, metamorpho, which is the word metamorphosis. Transformed, that's a radical change by what? The renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we're bombarded with all kinds of voices, but are we meditating on the Word of God? Are we filling our mind with this Word? Because this is the truth. Now, turn to Colossians with me quickly. I said the number one way that God will speak to us and lead us is through His written Word. I like what Howard Hendricks said. Howard Hendricks said, the more we're filled with God's Word, the more our spirit is filled with God's Word, we will habitually think in line with God. I like that. It just becomes a habit. That's a good habit. Amen. So here in Colossians chapter 2, of course, we said number one is the written Word of God. The entrance of God's Word gives light. And if you read it in the Bible, then there's no reason to pray about it. Just do it. Just act on it. The Bible says, love your enemy. You don't have to pray about that. The Bible says, do not forsake yourselves, the assembling together. You don't have to pray about that. Right? Amen. Don't pray about those things. Just act on it. That's the Word of God. Now, what about things that are not in the Bible? And we're living in a time when it's imperative for us to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because there are many voices that are competing for our attention. And we want to hear God's voice, because it's imperative that in the days that we're living in, we follow that voice, because that voice will keep you out of trouble. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, John 16, 13, will show you things to come. He'll give you inside information for your life and your family. You know, there was a time back in 2008, before 2008 came, my wife and I were praying, and the Lord, I just heard these words on the inside, downsize. Now, this was for me, not for everybody else, just for me. I'm just using this as an illustration. So we had a particular house. We sold that one. We went into another house, and I got rid of an extra vehicle that I had, wasn't really using. We downsized. And as a result, when things, 2008 happened, we were not impacted that much. Now, see, God is interested in every area of your life. He's interested in your investments. He's interested in your retirement. He's interested in your children's education. He's interested in you having a home, you having an automobile to drive, whatever you have need of. He's interested in those things. And he wants to lead you and guide you by his Spirit. Now, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, many times we will avoid situations and difficulties in life. We can avoid some of those if we listen. I remember Brother Hagin told the story of this pastor and his wife. I believe they were in California. This is many years ago. And They were getting ready to go on vacation. They were actually putting the suitcase in the back of the car. On the inside, he heard, "Wait 5 minutes." You know, and he just ignored that, you know, continued on. And wait 5 minutes. 3-4 times that happened. Well, they prayed and they got in the car, went down the road, and they had, you know, a little bit of a problem, an accident. That could have been avoided. That could have been avoided. They had the Holy Spirit talk to them. Amen. I remember when I was, going to Haiti, and I was pulling my trailer. As a result of that, we were going through a particular city, and on the inside of me, because I wanted to stop at this one hotel, I heard, "Don't stop." And I just ignored it because I'm tired. I went to another one. I heard, "Don't stop." Well, I just pulled in anyway. I'm tired. Been driving for 14 hours, you know. And so, you know, then I'm parking my trailer, and on the inside of me, I had this impression. Well, you just back it in, you know, well, leave it out front. And I didn't do that. I pulled around back. Well, back it in. I didn't do that. Well, I woke up in the morning, the trailer was gone. Well, they found it later, but there wasn't anything on the inside. It didn't stop us. About really the only thing that I lost was 8 years of sermon notes, and that was probably a good thing because I needed new information. I had typed 8 years of sermon notes. Typed back then, we had typewriters. Didn't have anything on computer. So, you know, that took me a while to get over. And I lost a couple other good Christian books. It took me a while to get over. But anyway, you know, a lot of times, you know, there are things that happen. If we listen, God will help us. Now, there are other times, things just happen, you understand? And then God protects us. Amen. And sometimes that happens. Things just happen because the devil tries to kill, steal, and destroy. Are you listening? And in situations like that, God protects us. Amen. He helps us and protects us. And I've had that happen many times. Many times. Now, here in Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to rush to a close with this. Colossians chapter 2. Number one way that God speaks to us and leads us and guides us is through the written word. The second way is through the inner witness. The inner witness. You remember Romans 8, 14 and 16. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself whatsoever he shall hear." Then he goes on, Romans 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God." You know that scripture. All right, here in Colossians chapter 2, notice what Paul says. And verse 15. Actually, chapter 3, verse 15. I'm sorry. Chapter 3 and verse 15. "Let the" what? "The peace of God." Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. "Let the peace of God" do what? "Rule" where? In your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you look up what Weymouth said, other commentators, this word "rule" is the word that we use in the English, arbitrator. An arbitrator is an individual that's called in many times to settle a dispute. So another way to say it is umpire, arbitrator or umpire. Weymouth's version says, "Let the word of God," or "let the peace of God settle all inward questionings." So what is the inner witness? It's not words, not a voice. It's an inner intuition. It's an inner sensation. It is the peace of God. The peace of God. And that is, beside the written word, the number one way that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you in life. How many of you have ever been in a situation where your mind is telling you you should be worrying? You're just, you know, I mean, you should, everything around you looks like it's falling apart. You should be worrying, but on the inside, there's just something, you got peace. That's the peace I'm talking about. The peace that passes all understanding. See, it's not natural peace that you can create by putting on a worship song and your mind enjoys that. Not talking about that. It's talking about something that's spiritual on the inside. That peace becomes an anchor, hallelujah, to your soul. It's on the inside. It passes all understanding. It keeps or guards your heart and mind, that peace. That comes from the Holy Spirit. So he said, "Let the peace of God rule," or settle all questions. So when it comes to being led, the number one way is what the written word says. Number two is this inner witness. Inner witness. It is not words, not a voice, but an inward sensation, an inward, I don't like to use the word feeling because people get that mixed up with their emotions, but it's almost like an inward feeling. It is the peace of God. The peace of God. Now, if you lose that peace, you better find out why. If you're praying about something and there's no peace, then you better find out why. Follow the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Sometimes what the Holy Spirit, what you're sensing sometimes doesn't make a lot of rational sense. Sometimes. But if we follow that inner witness, hallelujah, He'll guide us into all truth. He'll show us things to come. And He'll lead us into the perfect will of God. Amen. There's been times when, I just had this on the inside and I'm thinking, reason says I ought to do this, but I just don't have a release on the inside. Something on the inside just keeping me from doing that. And thank God I listened to that. Other times I haven't listened to it, and I've made mistakes. I remember one time, I'll close with this illustration. I remember one time I was in Bible school and I was wanting to buy some commentaries. And I didn't have money. A lot of people who go to, we went to Rhema, we were just getting by. And so I was just, had enough money to live. And I walked into this particular bookstore, and actually it was Cokesbury Bookstore. Pastor Sarah might know where that is. It was about 61st and Memorial. And I walked in, and they had a set of these commentaries, but they were way overpriced. So I'm, several days later, I'm driving, going home after work, and on the inside of me, I sense, just have this sensation, stop at that bookstore. And now, immediately, my mind says, why should I do that? I was just there 2-3 days ago. They don't have anything. Everything they have is too expensive. A second time, that sensation, stop there. Just come up on the inside, stop. Again, my mind, why should I do that? Why should I do that? I was just there the other day. And so a third time that came up on the inside of me, and I'm going right by it. And so I thought to myself, I guess it doesn't hurt. I'm here, right? So I just drove in and walked into the bookstore, and the first thing I saw was a for sale sign. And I looked at the bottom, and there was the commentary that I wanted. So I asked the clerk, there were 6 volumes. Do you have a complete set? She said, I have 1 left. So I opened it up, and they had, these stickers, 4 or 5 or 6 stickers, and the original price, I think they were like, they were $16 or $20 a volume. I don't know what it was. Marked down to $2.50 a volume. Hallelujah. 1 set left. Now, if I would have ignored that, somebody probably would have bought it, and there wouldn't have been a full set. You see, that's being led by the Spirit too. God will lead you to good deals. If you're a husband, you ought to be praying your wife listens to the Spirit. Vice versa. Sometimes the men like to buy things. God will lead you, right, to good deals. Well, that's prosperity. God will lead you because He's interested in every area of your life. Every area. And He wants to bless you and lead you, but we have to be led by the Spirit. Sometimes we educate our mind to the expense of our spirit, and we don't listen, we don't hear. Or it's like we're on AM and God's speaking to us on FM. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you're on AM, you're not going to pick up an FM frequency. And then sometimes even, we were out in the country, you had AM, and you're trying to fine-tune it. You get a little bit of garbly noise, and then finally you get a signal, and it goes out. That's the way it is sometimes. Us trying to listen to God because our mind has been bombarded by all kinds of things, and we get over into the realm of reason, and we don't listen to the Spirit. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Blessed be His holy name.